This country, Kenya, is without question one of the most beautiful in Africa. Although it lies across the equator, its highlands are green and fertile. Coffee, tea, and other crops grow in abundance. White men, mostly British, settled here at the turn of the century, grew rich, founded cities, and imposed government on the indigenous tribesmen. For half a century, the British ruled Kenya. A few hundred families, many of whom lived like kings in country castles, were lords of all they surveyed. But by the 1950s, Africa was changing. No longer content to be ruled, Kenya's Mau Mau independence fighters challenged the British and won. Today, Kenya is in its 10th year of independence, ruled by a man the British once imprisoned. This week, Echo looks at the nation and the man, Kenya and Jomo Kenyatta. More than in any other sophisticated African nation, President Kenyatta of Kenya is popularly accepted as a leader without rival. Now more than 80 years of age, Kenyatta has unified a tribal nation through the sheer power of his personality. Support from Kenya's 11 million people comes to Kenyatta despite a ban on the country's principal opposition party. Perhaps it is that Kenya enjoys a high degree of freedom to comment and criticize, both in parliament and the press, despite being a one-party state. Furthermore, Kenyatta's personal authority is never challenged. It is that authority which has glued Kenya together and will likely keep it unified when he has gone. Britain's Queen Elizabeth, visiting Kenya, is received with dignity by the man who once spent 7 years in prison for opposing British rule. A policy of non-recrimination is at the heart of Kenyatta's relations with Britain. A member of the Commonwealth, Kenya still looks to London for most of its development aid, and Britain is still its principal trading partner. Few other nations have made the transition from colony to independence so smoothly. In African terms, Kenya stands in contrast to its neighbours. Tanzania, led by President Julius Nyerere, still struggles to find the cohesion Kenyatta has given Kenya. And although both nations are linked with Uganda in the East African community, it is Kenya which provides the essential stability and economic power. And looking west from Kenya, there is Uganda and President Idi Amin. Amin's policy of Africanization at all costs does find an echo of sympathy in Kenya, but while the objectives may be the same, the methods differ radically. And nowhere is this more marked than in their treatment of Asian populations. Uganda expelled its Asians at one stroke and created economic chaos. Kenya has encouraged many of its Asians to become citizens, to serve social and commercial needs. 9 out of 10 of Kenya's doctors, lawyers and accountants are Indians, as are 8 out of 10 architects and engineers. To expel them would be to risk economic collapse, as Uganda has discovered. Nevertheless, many of Kenya's 100,000 Asians are leaving, about 8,000 of them a year. Hardest hit are the shopkeepers, for whom it is increasingly difficult to get trading licenses without citizenship. hundreds are selling up. Their departure may be a political necessity with the high rate of African unemployment, but it is also in line with the concept of Africanization, without which no African state can feel completely independent. Evidence that it is happening here can be seen in the many businesses formerly run by British or Asians and now controlled by Kenyans. Kenya hopes to complete the process by 1980, but she has been careful to replace those who leave with a well-trained body of managers and professional men and women. Unlike Uganda, which is discovering the effect of acting in haste, and Tanzania, which went looking for Chinese socialism, Kenya's apparently slow evolution has been achieved with a minimum of injustice and disruption. Nairobi, the capital, is Africa's most multiracial city. Life there is free from post-independent bitterness. Economically, the country is booming and is attracting more foreign investment than any other East or Central African state. Many are here as tourists. They represent Kenya's most important industry. In recent years, Kenya, in cooperation with foreign investment, has boosted its tourist earnings from $20 to over $50 million a year. And to accommodate the tourists, new hotels. And to attract them, Kenya's rich and varied game reserves. Vast areas of thousands of square kilometers where the animals are sacrosanct. Treetops, famed as the place where Britain's present Queen learned of her accession to the throne, is one of the places which attracts some of the yearly 250,000 visitors. But although this country abounds in natural wildlife, its climate and good grazing make it a prime area for the raising of other livestock. Plans are presently in hand to rear more cattle, for as a beef producer, Kenya is potentially as big as Argentina. And out in the bush, there are other developments. A $60 million program of road improvements connecting Kenya with the rest of East Africa is midway to completion. Already finished is a road stretching 2,400 kilometers from the Kenyan port of Mombasa to the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Such schemes as these, however, are doing more than simply providing better transportation routes. They are opening up areas of Kenya hitherto almost uncharted. What's happening here epitomizes the measured progress Kenya has made since independence. The trouble-free transition towards Africanization, the consolidation of unity among peoples of different tribes, and the generation of a strong economy have all been achieved at a relatively modest pace. And yet, by taking the slow road, Kenya has avoided most of the excesses and upheavals which have often flawed the image of its neighbours. Ten years on from the independence struggle, Kenya can be proud of her achievements. But the challenge remains. She has been fortunate in finding a leader as sure-footed as Jomo Kenyatta. But one day he will go. When he does, the quality of his tutelage will be tested. Fortunately, the nation can call on an experienced and willing group of senior administrators. The ablest, Vice President Daniel Arap Moi, has already demonstrated an ability to assume responsibility. The nation's moderate politics has enabled it to prosper while making progress on the problems of unemployment, economic development, and social adjustment. But the biggest question mark must concern that moment when the father figure, Jomo Kenyatta, retires from the scene. That event will be the real test for the nation and the man.